In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Hey, back here on Downtown, 526. Stranger in town. I look to my left, back in the studio for the first time since I don't even know when.
Oh, gosh. I mean,
it was back before Christmas, right?
Yeah, because, yes, I was my last scheduled appearance in studio. I was supposed to come in and talk about Avatar 2, but that's when my house fell apart.
Yeah.
And so I was unable to join.
No.
And then the ongoing process that was Samuel Beckett's Waiting for Godot
kind of
got in the way.
And then we had a storm day, so
yep,
you joined us by phone.
Yep. But
nice
to
see you.
Yeah, I feel like it's been, what, like a month and a half maybe since I was in here? Love what you've done with the place.
That's Carrie. We spruced him up a little bit, trimmed the beard, and... No, we put up, since the last time you were here, we added some pictures to the wall, many of which feature you.
Yeah, no, I'm in a couple of these.
Yeah.
It, makes a guy feel tough.
Oh, no question
cool,
about it.
Very cool, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, look, I see one, two, at least three Alan Adams pictures in here. Man.
Not bad.
It's more than you got in your house.
That's actually pretty true.
Man. So what's at the movies? What have you... There's a lot to catch up on. We obviously can't do all of that.
Right. I did not see a movie at the theater because it's still Avatar 2. Like, that's right. Kind of the deal. Like, it's been at the top of the box office for the last, like, 7 weeks in a row. It is, I believe it just moved into fourth place on the all-time box office list.
Wow.
It's just one of those things where it's just, we just have to remember, we can make all the jokes we want, et cetera, et cetera. Jim Cameron knows what he's doing.
And we
just have to accept the fact that, I didn't think anyone really wanted an Avatar 2 because no one really talked about the original Avatar. But again, here we are. So, shows what I know.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't crazy about the first one. No interest in the second one, but here it is: Oscar nominations and huge box office. Who knew? Jim Cameron knew.
It's a beautiful movie to look at, and you gotta love a guy who basically invents new technology because he's like, motion capture underwater doesn't look the way I want it to. So let's invent all this new technology, and let's teach Kate Winslet to hold her breath for 7 minutes. It's just one of those things where it's like, okay, this is what we're doing. Mm. So, so I did not go to the movies, but I did see a couple of new movies this weekend.
Oh, good.
One on Netflix and one streaming on Amazon. Two that would fall under the broad umbrella of romantic comedy, which, as you know, I'm a big proponent of that particular genre. And after what seemed like a fairly... an ebb as far as rom-coms are concerned. I feel like they've come back with a bit of a vengeance in the last few years. Thanks largely to the proliferation on streaming services, who have sort of demonstrated that the audience remains for these sorts of things. Mm. We'll see if that translates fully to wider studio, like, you know, theatrical offerings. That remains to be seen. I think that model is going to continue in the direction of tentpole blockbusters and micro budget genre fare, and that's going to be the primary way you make money at the box office. And so these sorts of mid-level movies are mostly going to find their homes on streaming services, I think.
Which I'm sad in some ways, but also for the people that seek out films like that, that probably is a better deal for them.
Well, and that's the thing. Like there are. There are relatively few films where, it's a sacrilege, heresy, whatever you want to call it. There are relatively few films where it's like, oh, you have to see it on the big screen.
Yeah.
These movies that we're talking about are the sorts of movies that translate very well to a mm-hmm. home viewing experience. And so just starting there, it's not surprising, and particularly given the way the streaming sort of situation is shifting, they gotta get new subscribers. They gotta hold on to the subscribers they got, and the way you do that is with new original content.
Right.
So I don't anticipate a shift happening anytime soon.
So what did you see?
From Netflix, I saw the new Kenya Barris directed film You People.
Intriguing to me.
Starring Jonah Hill and among others Eddie Murphy. On Amazon Prime, I saw Shotgun Wedding, starring Jennifer Lopez and Josh Duhamel. Both had their moments. I liked one more than the other, and it wasn't the one I expected.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So which one would you like to talk about first?
Well, let's go You People first.
Okay. That was the one that I thought I would like more than I did.
Yeah, that's what I expected.
Yeah. Directed, as I said, by Kenya Barris, best known for the TV show Black-ish, who also co-wrote the screenplay alongside Jonah Hill, who stars in the film. I feel like you and I kind of share this sensibility a little bit in that, a good comedy will make you laugh. A great comedy will make you laugh, then think about why you're laughing, and then laugh some more. And that's great. But however, when you try to get to that point with a film, sometimes if you try too hard, not only do you not achieve the latter, you kind of fall flat on the former a little bit.
Yeah, boy.
And that's kind of where we landed with You People, unfortunately. It's the sort of movie that doesn't really seem to know exactly what it wants to be. It's got this wonderful it has these wonderful moments of like very cringy kind of comedy, but it also wants to say something about racial dynamics and social inequality and things like that. And I think there's a way to thread that needle, but unfortunately, this film doesn't quite manage to do it. The basic gist is our man Ezra, that's Jonah Hill's character, is he's in his mid-30s. He works in finance, hates his job. His folks they mean well, but they're constantly trying to set him up with girls they meet at the synagogue. And he's just not engaging in that sort of way. His mom, Shelley, played by Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who is easily the best part of this movie. Like, she's phenomenal. And his dad, Arnold, played by David Duchovny.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Love it.
Ezra is someone who doesn't really engage with his Jewish identity in any real way. His passion is podcasting, because of course it is. he does a podcast with his best friend Mo, played by SNL writer Sam Jay, it's about the culture. And you know what we mean when we say the culture.
Yeah.
Put it this way, it's not the culture that you and I operate in necessarily.
Right.
There's something to be said about, a mid-30s Jewish guy being steeped fully in Black culture. That is, it works for the most part. Like, it's because Jonah Hill is so amiable, although like his... even if you don't watch the movie, like look for pictures of him in this film, because the aesthetic is just astonishing, what he's got going on. So anyway, on one side we have Ezra. On the other side, we have Amira, played by Lauren London. She's a costume designer who's kind of struggling to find her way in LA, and her folks are devout Muslims. Nation of Islam, specifically. Her dad has taken the name Akbar. That would be Eddie Murphy, her mom Fatima, played by Nia Long. Like I said, this cast is stacked. She's having some trouble in her own love life, and her parents are also interfering in their way. So we have actually pretty good meet cute involving mistaken identity and an Uber ride that I'm not going to spoil here. It was one of those moments where I'm like, oh, this movie is actually going to be pretty good. And then it kind of went a little downhill. But suffice to say, Ezra and Alina, they fall in love. They start dating. You know, we have our rapid fire montage. It's 6 months later, and wouldn't you know it, Ezra has decided he's in love. He wants to get married. Only problem is, they haven't met the parents yet. She hasn't met his parents. He hasn't met her parents. Well, on the one side, you have Ezra's parents, who are trying so hard to be perceived as with it and progressive that we get a lot of really unfortunate, again, well-meaning, but unfortunate comments from Mom. And in one of the weirdest running gags I've seen in a movie in a while, Ezra's dad, again, David Duchovny, has a weird obsession with the rapper Exhibit. from Pimp My Ride all the way through. Like, it is a strange thing that they really lean into for reasons that I don't really understand, but I'm kind of delighted by. And then you have, on the other side, you know, Akbar, who is, you know, not only a devout Muslim, but a proponent of the teachings of Louis Farrakhan. And so, you know, the idea of a Jewish son-in-law presents some issues there as well. And then kind of off we go. It's as just listening to me describe it, you can see some of the pitfalls inherent to this movie, simply because tackling these issues with any sort of like real grace involves going a little deeper than I think anyone involved in this was ready to go. Barris and company seem pretty content to just kind of stay in the shallow end of the pool little bit. There's some low hanging fruit, and we get some feints towards a deeper conversation, but those are pulled back pretty quickly. And there are some pretty good jokes. You know, there are laughs to be had here as well, but there's not enough of either. You know what I mean? And it's like, and I get the idea of wanting to split that difference. I think it's a good faith effort to do that. Like, I don't think anyone's pandering here, at least not intentionally. But for whatever reason, like, the tone never really settles, and so you're just kind of left in limbo a little bit. I will say the performances are pretty solid. They'd have to be, considering who you've got involved. Like I said, Julia Louis-Dreyfus absolutely crushes. Like, she goes real hard. And Eddie Murphy plays it straight. Like, he's the straight man. Like, we don't get any of the standard, like, Eddie shtick that you might be expecting from him, which is a really interesting choice. And it's one that if the script had been a little better, if the jokes surrounding the situation had been a little stronger, I think it would have worked even better. Yep. Because I like the idea of sort of subverting that expectation, particularly... With a movie like this, I think has a lot of potential, and I think that's the thing. I think that's the issue with this movie, is that feeling of potential squandered. Like, you can squint and see the movie this movie wanted to be, and it would have been great if we could have seen that. And that's not to say that this movie's not worthwhile. Like, there is there's fun to be had here. It's a well made film. It's just, yeah, it just doesn't quite come through.
And did I see that one of my favorite actor-directors from the 70s and 80s, isn't it, Richard Benjamin?
Yes. There are a couple of wonderful sort of throwback kind of performers who show up. Rhea Perlman is in this movie.
Wow.
Elliot Gould. Hal Linden.
Nice.
All making appearances at the synagogue, as you might expect.
Right.
But it just and so you just have these familiar faces sort of at the periphery, and you're just like, oh, dang it, why isn't this movie better?
Yeah. All right, how about Shotgun Wedding?
Okay, so this was the one where I was like, okay, here we go. But it's one of those movies where sometimes you just want to sit down, click the brain switch to off, and just go for a ride. And this movie does that in a wonderful way. It's directed by Jason Moore, who is this is only his third feature film behind Pitch Perfect. The 2015 I believe it was Tina Fey and Amy Poehler movie Sisters.
Like that, yeah.
Yeah, so hasn't made a movie in 8 years, but is perhaps best known as the director of the original Broadway production of Avenue Q.
Oh, foul mouth puppets, man. Can't get better than that.
Right, so it's like, so, you know, you learn, and it's like, okay, well, so this is not the sort of person that I would have anticipated directing this particular movie. And look, say what you will about the ups and downs of her personal life. Jennifer Lopez is a wildly talented entertainer and just absolutely magnetic to look at on screen. Like, few people carry the sort of screen charisma that she has. And when you have someone like that to anchor a movie like this, you know, you're in really good shape. Like, you're starting, you're born on third base when you've got J-Lo in a movie like this. But the gist, such as it is, you've got your two young loves or middle-aged loves, however you want to refer to it. Darcy, that's Jennifer Lopez, and Tom, that's Josh Duhamel. They have arranged for a destination wedding on a private island in the Philippines. They have invited all of their family and friends to join them. They are dealing with some issues with surrounding the wedding planning, which has raised some tensions between them. Tom has done a lot of the planning himself. He's had some downtime because he, as a former professional baseball player, well, air quotes former, he's still waiting to sign somewhere, but things aren't looking great for Tom. But they're paying for everything themselves, despite the fact that Darcy's family, specifically her father, is incredibly wealthy. But they wanted to do this themselves. And look, like, DIY wedding on a private island, you're doing okay, would be my guess. So they bring everyone in, and they've got their family has come. So Darcy's parents are divorced. Renata, played by Sonia Braga, has come by herself. But her dad, Robert, played by Cheech Marin, who's a delight [S2] Wow. [S1] In this, has shown up with his new girlfriend and former yoga instructor, Harriet, and that's played by Darcy Carden, who's also great.
She's great.
And Tom's folks are the epitome of Midwestern nice. His dad is played by Steve Coulter. Never puts his video camera down. He's one of those. And his mom is just an absolute delight. Carol, played by the wonderful Jennifer Coolidge.
Oh.
Which, look, man, just a note to all filmmakers, television makers, etc. Like, if you have a chance to put Jennifer Coolidge like in some sort of like tropical locale and let her cook,
yes,
like, do it.
Yes.
Because it's going to be successful for mm-hmm. you. It's going to work well. And throwing in one extra kink into the whole situation, Robert, Darcy's dad, has invited Darcy's ex-fiance, the incredibly attractive Sean, played by Lenny Kravitz, who, like, look, like, I've like, he's, man, I don't know how old Lenny Kravitz is. Like, I think he's aging in reverse, but that man still looks great. Great. So all these people are there, the pressures mount. And at one point, Darcy and Tom go off into the woods to have it out and just be like, do we really want to do this? Like, do we need to? And that's when the pirates show up, Rich. The pirates come.
Pirates, you say?
Pirates come, okay. And invade the private island in an effort to exact a ransom from Darcy's incredibly wealthy father. And if they get the money, everyone will live. And hijinks, as they say, ensue. What follows is Darcy and Tom joining forces to try and save all the people that they love from, again, pirates, while also hoping to rekindle the special connection between the two of them. So what we get is sort of screwball comedy and then a whole bunch of like slapsticky action stuff with some interpersonal relationship dynamics mixed in. If that sounds familiar, it's because you've probably seen 15 or 20 movies that are basically that. But here's the thing, Rich. Sometimes that's okay.
Yes.
Like, there's...
Absolutely.
They call it comfort food for a reason.
Right.
It comforts you. It's yes. Like, this is very familiar. Like, nothing here is surprising me. I know how this is going to go. You know, there are a couple of air quote reveals along the way where it's like, well, this is pretty obvious how this is working out, but that's okay. They do some wonderful, some action set pieces that are fun. Even the ones that are very clearly in front of a green screen. You know, the chemistry between between J-Lo and Josh Duhamel is great. More so in the action-y stuff than in the you know, the more intimate stuff, but it all works. You know, and she's so charismatic, and he's like, you know, and he's game, and he's got a, you know, he's got enough charisma of his own to sort of not get completely just like lens flared off the screen by her, which, you know, is not easy to do. So the two of them together are great. The supporting cast, like I mentioned, just a bunch of wonderful performances. Yeah, it's just one of those things where you're sitting there, you're watching this movie, and you're like, this is dumb. This is a dumb movie. And I'm enjoying myself immensely.
Nothing wrong with that.
And honestly, like, I, you know, you need that every once in a while. So if you... if you're not a fan of the rom-com genre, you can feel comfortable giving this one a pass. If you, like me, are a fan, then this one is, yeah, it's definitely worth a shot.
Fabulous. Alan, great to see you again.
Nice to see you, too.
We're going
to
do this weekly?
I think so.
Okay, cool.
Barring unforeseen circumstances, of which there probably will be, because weather doesn't make sense anymore.
No, not at all.
But yeah, that's the plan.
Excellent. Well, we'll see you next week.
Yes, sir.
Alan Adams talking movies here.